from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, no judgment being applied here. Purely observation. Just observational comedy. Remember that? That was so hip. No, just observation. No judgment. They didn't play NFL football the Sunday after 9/11. They did the Sunday after Katrina. They postponed the Emmys after 9/11. They re-postponed it after the invasion of Afghanistan, and when they finally held it in 2001, they banned Joan Rivers from the red carpet, you know, because dishing was, you know, not appropriate under the circumstances. Tonight, as this broadcast airs, there will be an Emmy broadcast immediately following the aftermath of Katrina. I had the opportunity, because sometimes, you know, life just hands you these, to speak to an official of the Television Academy. And I just asked this person about that anomaly. He said, there was a meeting of the governors and the producers of the program this week. I said, yeah. He said, that didn't come up. Didn't come up, ladies and gentlemen, whether we should. I just observation, no judgment. Now, in the buried lead department, leads are the first sentences of news stories. That's where the most important part of the news story is supposed to be placed to command your attention. You're a busy person. At the very bottom of a story in the Los Angeles Dog Trainer, which I guess would be the most important part because that's where the dog... No, anyway. The very bottom of a story about the U.S. troubles, the U.S. conflict with Hugo Chavez, the thrice-elected president of Venezuela, and the fact that the United States is having trouble getting other Latin American countries to join our tussle, our intersectional tussle with Hugo Chavez. At the very bottom now, ladies and gentlemen, is this, quote, John Walsh, not the guy from America's Most Wanted. There's more than one John Walsh in this country? That is hard to... John Walsh, a researcher at the Washington Office on Latin America, said the United States may have lost sight of the fact that Chavez has gained popularity by addressing the issues that matter most to Latin Americans, reducing poverty and improving education and health. The U.S. focus on free trade and terrorism has not resonated in the region. It's a multipolar world, Walsh said. We can't call all the shots all the time, unquote. Imagine that. Imagine that. Addressing the issues that matter most to Latin Americans, poverty and education and health. The very things that this U.N. thing has been, and the Clinton thing, and now the big Bush thing, and the buried leads, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's only a newspaper. Who cares? Hello, welcome to the show. If that.
There is a fine line between recklessness and courage. It's about time you understood which road to take. It's a fine line, and your decision makes a difference. Get it wrong, you'll be making a big mistake. Come home, brother, all is forgiven. We all cried when you were driven away. Come home, brother, everything is better.
This must be somebody's dream come true. Every creature comfort, big fine house, and a pretty little wife. But to me it's just pictures in a book, words in a story. It's a realistic look at someone else's life. I can tell you a tale of my adventures, the romance, risk, and glory. You might think I had it made, someone else might think you right. To me it's just pictures in a book, words in a story. Color photographs I took that are painted black and white. Am I pretending to pretend, or do I pretend to really care? I come home to the man in the mirror with the mask covering the face that isn't there. Do you want laughs or wisdom or sympathy? I can always tell what the deal is, and I can deal it, I can deal it. But somehow I just can't feel it. So I look at the pictures in the book, read the words in the story, and I figure it all did really happen, but someone else got me. I can deal it. I just can't deal it. It's my turn to feel I can deal it. Somehow I just can't deal it. But you know I can deal it. I just can't feel it. It's my turn to feel like a dealer. Oh, I just can't feel it. You know I can deal it. I can deal it. Somehow I just can't feel it. It's my turn to feel like a dealer. I just can't feel it. You know I can deal it.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. Forthwith, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Well, it's McCartney almost back to back. Except for Jude Law's children's nanny apologized to Law's fiancée, actress Sienna Miller, saying she regrets being involved with the actor. The nanny, Daisy, who declared a few weeks ago, Daisy Wright, who declared a few weeks ago that Jude was the one to blame for the romantic affair because he came on to her and used her only for sex, confessed during an interview that if she could go back in time, she would never repeat the experience. And she apologized to Law's fiancée, Sienna, for hurting her. I guess you could say for burning her, but then that would be burnt. Dateline Wright Township. No, we'll get to that in a moment. South Washington County, Minnesota school officials have apologized for a back-to-school safety ad that indirectly referred to a January crash in which a district school bus hit a minivan, killing a three-year-old passenger. The ad shows four children walking in a crosswalk in front of a school bus designed to look similar to the Abbey Road album cover. The photograph was altered so the license plate of the bus read Jose, the first name of the bus driver involved in the crash that killed the three-year-old. The ad ran. Last week, Superintendent Tom Nelson said an administrator noticed the subliminal message, and a district transportation employee later admitted he placed the name in the ad. He was immediately suspended. His name is not being released because he might be fired. The ad was in no way condoned by the administration of the district, said the superintendent. We apologize. Brian and Sarah Doom were shocked when police showed up at their Wichita, Kansas home, accusing them of child pornography. The Dooms had never been in trouble with the law. On August a year ago, they found themselves being accused of activity that disgusted them, but police had the wrong house based on mistaken information from the Dooms' internet service provider, Cox Communications. Now they're suing Cox for an invasion of privacy, breach of contract, defamation of character, and outrageous conduct. Cox did make a mistake, and we're sorry for that action, said Sarah Kaufman of Cox. but due to the pending lawsuit, we're prohibited from being even sorrier than we are. No, she didn't say that, but she said something like that. While maintaining Pacific Gas and Electric Company did a thorough job in looking for its missing fuel rods. That would be nuclear stuff, ladies and gentlemen, in case you weren't paying attention. In case you were dozing over your orange juice. Missing fuel rods. And addressing the surrounding issues, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission announced this week the company will pay possible fines for the violations that led to their disappearance. The company has, you'll be glad to know, apologized for the missing fuel rods. Quote, "We're here to tell you that we regret what happened." Donna Jacobs, Vice President of Nuclear Services with PG&E. "We apologize for the need to have this meeting tonight." She said the company did not live up to its responsibilities of controlling and maintaining its special nuclear material. Three 18-inch fuel rod segments were supposed to be hanging from the wall of the cooling pool, were found missing. A company investigation found they were likely broken up but still in the pool, or that they'd been shipped to a radioactive disposal site, or given to some terrorists. No, they didn't do that. Prince Harry, didn't he already do this? Has apologized. This is Prince of England, in case you're not keeping track on your royalty, and spoke of his regret over donning a Nazi soldier uniform complete with swastika for a fancy dress party earlier this year. "Looking back on it now, and at the time as well, it was a very stupid thing to do, and I've learned my lesson, simple as that, really," the prince said, commemorating his 21st birthday. "Welcome to adulthood, babe. Excuse me, Prince babe. I'm very sorry if I offended anybody. I'd like to put it in the past now. What's done is done. I regret it." Hong Kong-based FinanceAsia.com has apologized to Singapore's leaders, past and present, for an article about Temasek, the Singapore government's investment arm. See if you hear a heavy hand in this apology, this story. The apology posted on the website this week said that parts of an August 19th report may have been understood to have meant that Singapore leader Lee Hsien Loong, his father, former Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew, and other family members, quote, corruptly and improperly caused Temasek to be owned and managed for the benefit of their family, unquote. The article may also have been understood to mean that another former prime minister allowed Temasek to be used corruptly and improperly, said FinanceAsia. Quote, "We admit and acknowledge that these allegations are completely false and without foundation. They apologize to the men for the distress and embarrassment caused to them by these false allegations." FinanceAsia also issued a separate apology to Temasek and its board. Do you think maybe FinanceAsia wants to continue doing business in Singapore? Dayline London supermodel Kate Moss acknowledged to the H&M clothing chain the tabloid allegations that she recently used cocaine are true. Moss, who's to model one of H&M's upcoming clothing lines. By the way, you know what H&M stands for, gals? Hennes and Moritz. I didn't know that, but I'm not a gal. Moss has apologized for her drug... Sorry for calling you gals. Moss has apologized for her drug use and promised in writing to abide by a company policy that models be, quote, healthy, wholesome, and sound. That would be a very short list of models, don't you think? Healthy? That means eating? By the way, anybody ever go to Model Cafe? Did you ever have one in your community? They had one in New Orleans, of all places, because it was such a good idea. Let's go eat where the models eat. H&M has decided to keep Moss on. According to a spokesperson, "We strongly disapprove of her action. We feel that this is very unfortunate," he said. How's she supposed to stay thin? I don't root for cocaine use, but no, there's no but there. Presque Isle, Maine, Tim Hortons, this is a chain in Canada, and I guess they've invaded the United States, too. Tim Hortons officials publicly apologized this week for a recent marketing promotion that appalled the local family of a woman who was murdered last winter in a Tim Hortons coffee shop. The, quote, "Get Mugged with Tim Hortons" contest, which aired this week on a Northern Maine radio station, offered call-in participants the chance to, quote, "get mugged" by winning a coffee mug and a dozen donuts. The play on words did not amuse the family of Aaron Sperry, who was beaten to death in January while working the night shift at a Tim Hortons in Caribou, Maine. "I'm appalled that you would use a reference to violence in your advertising campaign," her mother wrote in an email to officials. "I thought, who in their right mind would put something like this on the radio?" Answering that question, Nick Javor, Tim Hortons Vice President of Corporate Affairs, apologized to the woman and her family by email, and on Thursday publicly apologized for the marketing campaign. "The minute it was brought to my attention, I called and expressed my incredible disappointment," Javor said. "From this perspective, it's a classic case of one department of a company not appreciating the sensitivity of what happened to the family and the community." "You mean parts of private businesses don't coordinate with each other too? Just like FEMA?" "Well then, what are we supposed to do if we can't private?" A soldier was sentenced to 6 years in prison at Fort Bliss. As I've pointed out, it beats Fort Misery. "For his role in a scheme to smuggle cocaine," there's that word again, "from Colombia into the United States using military planes." Hey, Kate, no, she didn't need it. Staff Sergeant Kelvin Irizarry Melendez pleaded guilty to conspiracy, importation of cocaine, and a charge related to taking money to Colombia. A military judge reduced his rank to private and ordered a dishonorable discharge. Irizarry Melendez apologized to his family, the court, and the army, saying he joined in the drug ring in part to help support his family and pay for his daughter's costly medical treatments. Wouldn't the army take care of that? Have to ask him. Kelly Allen Frank, the Montana handyman accused of plotting to abduct David Letterman's infant son, has been sentenced to 10 years in a state prison for overcharging Letterman for painting work at his ranch. The sentence was part of a plea agreement. Frank appeared at a sentencing hearing and apologized for the grief this has caused Letterman and his family, but he denied hatching a scheme to break into the house to kidnap his son and hold him and his au pair for $5 million ransom. So don't be thinking badly of him. Massachusetts Attorney General Thomas Riley said that Marsh & McLennan, a big accounting firm, may have created, or insurance company, may have created more than a dozen, may have cheated more than a dozen Massachusetts business customers in a bid-rigging scam, and is threatening to sue the embattled insurance brokerage. Where's the apology? Oh, the company apologized for its behavior in settling with the New York Attorney General and said it would no longer receive commissions from insurance companies. That's reassuring. Hundreds of people in California recently received phone calls asking for their support for the creation of a Walmart. There was just one problem. The calls concerned a proposed Walmart in Lincoln, Nebraska. Residents were asked to support the Walmart by contacting the head of the Lincoln Planning Department. Many Californians did to complain about the calls. Ryan Horn, Walmart's community affairs manager, said 500 Californians received the calls, but they didn't come from Walmart. The telemarketing company was blamed for the mistake. The message, which had been used to promote the megastore in Nebraska, was not erased and wound up being heard by the Californians in place of the telemarketer's message. Walmart apologized and is looking for a way to apologize to the Californians. Hey, employ some people here. That would be a good way. Nothing about just, how about just not having unsolicited phone calls anymore? That would be the most sincere way to. Dateline Rama, Colorado, Mayor Tamara Harara. Well, you got to vote somebody like with a name like that as your mayor, don't you? If you're living in Rama, Mayor Tamara Harara, mayor of Rama. That sounds like a chant. You could get high saying that about eight times. Tamara Harara of Rama. Mayor Tamara Harara of Rama has apologized to a pagan group, speaking of chanting, whose plan for a Halloween gathering cast this town, the small plains town, as a modern-day Salem. The coven of about a dozen members rented Rama's American Legion Hall. The Reverend Tim Tucker of the Rama Baptist Fellowship tried to get the town board to block the gathering. Harara's apology followed a scolding from fellow trustee Nicole Allen, who said she was embarrassed at the board's behavior, say it was an attempt to violate the pagan group's civil liberties. Harara said, "All I can say, we do as a board apologize. This has never come up before. And never will again." The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. See if you hear an unseen hand in this story. British Prime Minister Tony Blair was shocked by the BBC's coverage of Hurricane Katrina and its devastation of New Orleans, describing it as, quote, "full of hatred of America," unquote. The Prime Minister recounted his feelings in a private conversation earlier this week in New York with... guesses? Rupert Murdoch, whose Sky News competes with the BBC. Nice people doing nice things, ladies and gentlemen. One of these days, I'll tell you where that quote originates. Now, in the nice people doing nice things, the deja vu department. See if this sounds familiar to you. Dateline United Nations. No, not that. Wait. Don't be so quick to judge. With an hour-long slide, this is from the Washington Post, with an hour-long slideshow that blends satellite imagery with disquieting assumptions about Iran's nuclear energy program, Bush administration officials have been trying to convince allies that Tehran is on a fast track toward nuclear weapons. The PowerPoint briefing, entitled A History of Concealment and Deception, has been presented to diplomats from more than a dozen countries at the UN. Several said the presentation, intended to win allies for increasing pressure on Iran, dismiss ambiguities in the evidence about Iran's intentions, and emits alternative explanations that are under debate among intelligence analysts. The presenters argue that the evidence leads solidly to the conclusion that Iran's nuclear program is aimed at producing weapons. But even U.S. intelligence estimates acknowledge that other possibilities are plausible. The problem, said one U.S. official, is that the evidence is not definitive. Briefers say you can't draw any other conclusion, says this one official. And of course you can draw other conclusions. The official would discuss the closed-door sessions only on condition of anonymity. The briefings were conducted in Vienna over the past month in advance of this week's gathering of world leaders at the UN in New York. Several diplomats said the slideshow reminded them of the flawed presentation by Colin Powell on Iraq in February of 2003. Well, at least they didn't get Colin Powell to do it. There's a great deal of resistance on the part of many governments who don't seem to place, quite frankly, nonproliferation and Iran at the top of their priority list, said Undersecretary of State for Arms Control Robert Joseph. Three years ago, the White House used the same annual gathering of the UN to put Iraq and the world community on notice. And U.S. intelligence failures have remained fresh in the minds of international decision makers now being asked to weigh the case of Iran. The Iraq experience has had a sobering effect on Iran discussions, said our friend, our close ally, President Perv Musharraf of Pakistan. Even Perv can't vouch for this stuff. He refused to speculate on whether Iran had, whose program has been secretly aided by AQ Khan, of course, Pakistan's father of the A-bomb, had been designed for weapons production, but General President Musharraf now said he feels confident Iran's aims are now peaceful. That's our ally, ladies and gentlemen. That's our good friend. PowerPoint. It's got to be true. It's PowerPoint. Got to be true. It's Microsoft. Finally, some Katrina-related news. This is from Knight Ridder Newspapers. 2 days after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, President Bush went on national TV to announce a massive federal rescue and relief effort, but orders to move didn't reach key active military units for another 3 days. Once they received the orders, it took just 8 hours for 4,000 troops to be on the ground in Louisiana and Mississippi with vital helicopters. If the 1st CAV and 82nd Airborne had gotten there on time, I think we would have saved some lives, said General Julius Becton Jr., who was director of FEMA under President Reagan. We recognized we had to get people out, and they had helicopters to do that, unquote. Federal officials have long known that the active duty military is the only organization with the massive resources and effective command structure to handle a major catastrophe. In a 1996 Pentagon report, the Department of Defense said, quote, in catastrophic disasters, DOD will likely provide Hurricane Andrew levels of support and predominantly operate in urban and suburban terrain. These should be incorporated into planning assumptions. The delay in tapping the troops, choppers, and other resources raises questions about the government's ability to rapidly mobilize the active duty military with FEMA inside the Department of Homeland Security. Several emergency response experts questioned whether Homeland Security Secretary Chertoff understood how much authority he had to tap all the resources of the federal government, including DOD. Quote, "To say I've suddenly discovered the military needs to be involved is like saying wheels should be round instead of square," unquote, says Michael Greenberger, director of the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. The new National Response Plan, the nation's blueprint for responding to disasters that was unveiled with much fanfare by Chertoff's predecessor, Tom Ridge, in January, includes a section on responding to catastrophic events. Unless, quote, here's the money quote, ladies and gentlemen, unless it can be credibly established that a mobilizing federal resource is not needed at the catastrophic incident venue, that resource deploys. Unquote. Aides to Chertoff concede that Washington officials were unable to confirm that the levees in New Orleans had failed until midday on August 30th. The breaches were actually first discovered some 32 hours earlier, and in New Orleans, Mayor Ray Nagin was being told by the Army Corps of Engineers that they were going to start sandbagging on the morning of the 29th. They, in fact, didn't start until 2 days later. But who's counting? And finally, ladies and gentlemen, you know this, I bet. A new study concludes that rising sea temperatures have been accompanied by a significant global increase in the most destructive hurricanes. The study published in the journal Science this week is the second in 6 weeks to draw this conclusion, but other climatologists dispute the findings and argues that a recent spate of severe storms reflects nothing more than normal weather variability. So, you get your degree, and you make your choice.
Giant steps are what you take, walking on the moon. God, I help, my legs don't break when I'm walking on the moon. We could walk forever, walking on the moon. We could live together, walking on, walking on the moon. Walking back from your house, and I'm walking on the moon. From your house, and I'm walking on the moon. Feet they hardly touch the ground, walking on the moon. Feet they hardly make a sound, I'm walking on, walking on. May say I'm wishing my days away, away. And if it's the price that I pay, some say tomorrow's another day. You stay. And I'm walking on.
This is the show. And ladies and gentlemen, the Vatican, you've heard of them, it's an actual state. It's in the United Nations. Look it up. The Vatican has ordered an inspection of Roman Catholic seminaries in the United States to look for, quote, evidence of homosexuality, unquote, and for faculty members who dissent from church teachings, according to a document containing guidelines for the year-long review. Inspections of more than 220 seminaries, set to begin later this month, was authorized in the wake of the church's child molestation scandal. Be carried out by bishops who break into small teams. That sounds painful. To visit each seminary for at least 4 days. Areas to be examined include, quote, whether there is a clear process for removing, unquote, dissident faculty. If seminarians, quote, know how to use alcohol, the internet, television, etc., with prudence and moderation. And how behavior outside the seminary is monitored. The mandate to look for evidence of homosexuality reflects a concern among some church officials and members that Catholic seminaries have become too tolerant of a gay lifestyle. It also reflects the contention by some that the pedophilia scandal grew out of lax moral discipline in the presence of gay men among the clergy. Other Catholics dispute that, saying there's no evidence that homosexuality leads to sexual abuse of children. Some church scholars fear the directive may ban gay men from seminaries. Others, that a ban is unlikely, but the directive may make it harder for gays to enter the priesthood, says Francis Bernardo, Di Bernardo, a group advocating for justice and reconciliation for gay Catholics, quote, why not look instead for evidence of cowardice, secrecy, and dishonesty, the traits displayed by so many bishops which magnified the pedophilia crisis into a public scandal, he asked rhetorically. Archbishop Edwin O'Brien, who will oversee the review of the seminaries, says anyone who is engaged in homosexual activity or has strong homosexual inclinations should not be accepted into seminaries, even if their last gay sexual activity happened over a decade ago. So they'll be conducting. They're calling it an inspection or an investigation. You might call it something else.
From the director of Omen 6, The Deadening, comes a new tale of terror so bizarre, so depraved, and so incredible that it has to be based on something true. Inquisition 2. This time, it's private.
All right, Father Paul. Let us begin.
I don't even know why I'm here.
That's a pretty gay thing to say.
On one side, hundreds of priests. On the other, just two bishops standing between their church and an eternity in West Hollywood.
Didn't you originally want to be called Father Mary?
Not really, no.
Didn't you ever petition for a softer cassock?
Well,
tell us, the only reward for silence is punishment.
You won't be getting that either.
Johnny Depp is Father Mary. Ralph Fiennes is Inquisitor 1. And 50 Cent is Inquisitor 2.
You look tense.
I feel like Lizon Zoloft.
Let me rub your neck.
Don't rub my anything!
Two men of the cloth trying to save their church from a very extreme makeover and keeping between them the most explosive secret since Peter Allen's inseam. Inquisition 2. This time it's private. Very private. But not private enough. Only in theaters and selected churches, starting Friday. And who knows when it ends.
I think of you, caught up. nothing new. Flashback all night, almost left behind. Suitcase of memories, time after sometimes you picture me. I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me, and I can't hear a word you said. Didn't you say go slow? I fall behind the second hand.
This is Le Show. Still, news now from the digital wonderland, ladies and gentlemen. Panasonic's Jeff Cove predicts that high-definition television sets will be in 64% of U.S. households by 2009. He discussed the resolution limits of the human eye and how this affects the optimum screen size for a given viewer. With a 42-inch set, he argued you can see all the resolution the set has to offer at 12 feet if it's normal TV. Move that up to 720 lines. You need to get to 8 feet to see it all. And at the HD level, you got to sit 5 feet from the set. In other words, if the average viewer sits farther than 8 feet, you won't see what you paid all that money for the high, wonderful, high, crystal, clear, digital. And speaking of which, Les Moonves, co-chief operating officer of Viacom, owner of CBS, told investors this week that CBS plans to begin digital multicasting by fall 2006. Now, we'll just back up. You can use, if you're a broadcaster, you can use your new digital channel that we gave you, either for one high-definition channel or for multiple standard or lower definition channels, like as good as you get now or worse picture. So a network can have one source of profit or more than one. And I've been asking for years, what do you think they're going to do with your expensive high-definition set? They're going to cram crappy-looking pictures into it. And here it is. Here we are. Quote, there will be a CBS 2 in each market, Moonves said, noting that top executives had just had a meeting about multicasting last week. The expanded bandwidth of digital technology makes it possible to fit several channels onto one broadcast signal. Yeah, if they're not HD. That's correct, Mr. MarketWatch, who wrote this. Moonves also said over the next few years that it's possible there could be a CBS 3, 4, and 5. I think that's the wave of the future. You know what that wave is? Wave bye-bye to high definition, ladies and gentlemen. Sit. Don't come crying to me. Possible programming might include national news, local news, and sports, he said. Yeah, it's possible. It's also possible that that might be in the prime time of CBS One this year. Not likely. It's possible. Moonves said the network is working on ways to exploit the advertising opportunities that would be available on the additional channels. There you go. So go buy it. Go buy it. Please. Be my guest. And now, ladies and gentlemen, another regular feature of the broadcast returns.
Los Angeles Dog Trainer Corrections for you.
Some good corrections this week, I think. But you'll be the judge, as you always are. An article in Wednesday about the recovery of a synagogue's Torah scrolls from the hurricane flooding described their text as, quote, what Christians know as the Old Testament, unquote. In fact, Torah scrolls comprise the first five books of the Bible, which for Christians are the first five books of the Old Testament. The article also said such scrolls, quote, are cloaked in purple velvet, unquote. In fact, there is no prescribed fabric covering for them. A column in the business section about assessing blame for problems with the government's hurricane response said there were thousands of suspected terrorists being held at Guantanamo Bay. In fact, there are approximately 505 detainees there. An article Monday about recovery from Hurricane Katrina described Chalmette as being across the river from New Orleans in St. Bernard Parish. In fact, the town and the parish are on the same side of the Mississippi River as New Orleans. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are only two sides to a river. It's a 50-50 bet. An article Tuesday about New Orleans hurricane preparations for the poor referred to a French Quarter statue as being that of General Stonewall Jackson. The statue at the center of Jackson Square, in fact, depicts Andrew Jackson. Well, they could have said Michael. You know, it's an L.A. paper. An article in Book Review, both of which were about Fan Tan, a novel by Marlon Brando and Donald Camel, identified Camel as director of the 1970 film performance. He actually shared directing credit. That's minor. The obituary of composer Richard Loring said he was 86. In fact, he was 88. The article said he died of cancer. The cause of death was congestive heart failure. An article about hip-hop singer Kanye West gave the frequency of radio station KPWR as 105.6. It is, in fact, at 105.9. How would you be able to look that up if you're trying to research an article on a deadline? I don't understand this fetish. The subheadline on a September 1 article about a Turkish author accused of denigrating his country referred to Turkey's, quote, alleged slaying of Armenians, unquote. It should not have been qualified with the word alleged, since they actually were slain. The 19 across crossword puzzle clue last Sunday was Moises of the Cubs. The answer was Alou. The clue should have said formerly of the Cubs. In the September 4 travel section, it said the city of Nara is north of Tokyo. Nara is southwest of Tokyo. A photo caption of a beach campfire incorrectly stated that the moon was rising. It was setting. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, in an article last Sunday about bighorn sheep, Peter Galvin of the Center for Biological Diversity was quoted as saying, quote, the wildlife industry, unquote, wielded influence in the government's handling of grazing conflicts between the bighorns and domestic sheep. In fact, the industry that he said influenced the government's handling of the issue was the, quote, livestock industry, unquote. Is that really the end? Yeah, I think it is the end. There's a couple of geographical things. But aside from that, ladies and gentlemen, those are the Los Angeles dog trainer corrections for you. Copyrighted feature. About to be copyrighted. I'm copyrighted. News from outside the bubble. The Iraqi government is becoming increasingly estranged from its Arab neighbors, even as it grows closer to Iran. Well, mission accomplished. Our job is done. This trend threatens the region's longtime balance of power and may make Iraq less influential in regional affairs, according to Knight Ridder newspapers. Not a single Arab nation has sent an ambassador to Baghdad since Saddam was toppled, and most have closed what embassies were there. The Arab League has yet to make good on promises to open a Baghdad office. Regional media, typically funded by the government, still portray Iraq as a land occupied by the U.S. military and governed by American-installed lackeys. Ordinary Iraqis echo their leaders in accusing Arabs from neighboring countries of suicide bombings and attacks on infrastructure. Okay. So, congratulations, people of Iran. We're going to take your nuclear weapons, but we're going to give you Iraq. Ladies and gentlemen, the airwaves this weekend, the Yak Show's full of speculation and reaction to the president's speech in New Orleans, his fourth visit down to the hurricane area, his second to New Orleans. And you probably know by now he gave that speech in Jackson Square, where right by the statue of General Stonewall Jackson. And it was a nice picture. President standing alone in shirt sleeves. Did you take a look at the back of his shirt? Go back and look at the tape. Just pointing it out, something. That square thing reappeared. But anyway, he's in Jackson Square, which is normally clogged with people. It is the one of the tourist centers of New Orleans. That's where a lot of tarot card readers make their services available, sitting on folding chairs at card tables, and other kinds of similarly eccentric vendors, and a lot of street musicians headquarter in Jackson Square and do very well there. In this case, of course, the square was deserted. Electricity generators were brought in specifically to light the cathedral, the St. Louis Cathedral at the back end of the square, and the park for the president's speech, and then were immediately removed afterwards. Reports say that residents of nearby neighborhoods cheered when the lights went on, thinking it was for them. And this quote on the price of a presidential visit says, Wayne Cox, assistant superintendent of engineering services for Pan American Real Estate, quote, "We've got gaping holes in the roof, but the day the president came, I couldn't get contractors in. Nobody could get through because Mr. Bush wanted to come." Anyway, he announced this on first sight, very impressive, very putatively expensive program for hurricane relief. Possibly a lot of federal money, possibly a lot of federal contracts going through FEMA. Already a lot of discussion about how we've gone beyond whether New Orleans should be rebuilt. Now we're into the early part of how and by whom. And it was and the president got I think some praise from for the speech. At least the stagecraft marked the return of Karl Rove, who, by the way, you know who's in charge of all federal hurricane relief activities? Yes, Karl Rove. He's deputy chief of staff. He has to be. But he'd been gone. He'd been on vacation having kidney stones, but now he's back, so at least the pictures are good. I was just wondering, you know, you go to Jackson Square, where it's just so normally such a vernacular place, to deliver a speech. Why not, if you're going to go native, why not go all the way and sing it?
10-foot pole. So we failed to accomplish just what we ordered. But we're gonna make New Orleans whole. New Orleans whole. Nobody's there now, but there's gonna be plenty. Even the ex-gov be out on parole. I got building biz pals, maybe 10 or 20. We're gonna make New Orleans whole. New Orleans whole. They said we were slow pokes, now we're gonna be spunky. Never too late for to be in control. Building a new town, too busy to be funky. We're gonna make New Orleans whole. New Orleans whole. This isn't the time now for pointing those fingers. That's much for now. Memories grow cold, even though the sign still lingers. We're gonna make New Orleans whole. Make it more like us, so no one needs a bus. From Air Force One now, you can see the big picture. All those victims, mainly black as coal. Can't leave them so poor now, while we just get richer. We're gonna make New Orleans whole. Whole. There's such great ideas for this whole reconstruction. The best and the brightest gonna play their role. And the locals have bit parts in the production. We're gonna make New Orleans whole. Yeah, we're gonna make New Orleans whole. New Orleans whole. God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to jog your memory a little bit more, the week the NFL came back after 9/11, out of respect, I mentioned this on this show before, they played the games without the electronic sound of those effects, out of respect. Now they're back. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude, out of respect, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR. Something. What is it called? NPR throughout Europe. USN 440 NPR World? I don't know. I don't write these down. It's memorized. And apparently not very well. USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, shortwave, around the world through the facilities of your computer at two different locations whenever you want it, live and archived, harryshear.com and kcrw.com. Available at Channel 108 at Sirius Satellite Radio. Available as a free download from www.audible.com/LeShow and available as a podcast at kcrw.com. Join now, won't you? The meetings are great. And it would be just like us all getting some of that federal money from FEMA if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack, a tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. If you're in the New York metropolitan area, just a tip, Tuesday night I'll be emceeing a New Orleans and Katrina benefit at Radio City Music Hall, and here's a novel twist. It'll feature New Orleans musicians. How'd they think of that? The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, ladies and gentlemen. It's a community recognized around the world, don't you know, as the home of the homeless.